This is tape number 3 on January the 15th, 1995. Thank you, Commander.
Well, we'll try to wrap this up. You don't have really wonderful weather out there to try to get home.
Jordan has the mic.
All right. Let's hear from you.
Yes.
He did manage to sneak his way back there to the corner.
I want to thank you all for inviting me here. I did not come here expecting to speak to you, but since I've been asked, I will for a few moments. I share your concerns for the conditions under which our country is now placed. I believe that treason is the reason why we are where we are, and I believe that the salvation for this country is education, knowledge. No conspiracy can exist if it's been exposed. And that's what I intend to do, to the best of my ability, is to expose these people, what they have done and how they have done it. But I can tell you, after 35 years of working with this subject, it is a phenomenal idea that they have dreamt up, and how to manipulate and exploit the human race. And it's absolutely frightening when you see the implications of how well they have done their job on us. I think that, as I have said to many audiences before, they are going to find it difficult, those who have accepted the authority as truth rather than truth as the authority. Somewhere along the line, the truth is going to come out, because truth crushed to the earth will rise again. And no lie can live forever. Our religious establishment in this country, based on the British religious establishment, is the culprit, I believe, behind all of this mess. Because when you find out the God that you think you've been worshiping, and you find out that divinity that you think that you have been in contact with, and you find out that it has been nothing more than a manufactured thing, and that true divine force in the universe you have been diverted from, you're going to be very unhappy when you find out what the churches in this country really are, and who's really behind them, and where the money has come from, and what part British MI5 and MI6 play in the religious life of this country. I believe the most insidious criminal element that this country has ever faced is the British royalty. I believe they're criminals. I believe that they have caused more bloodshed, more anarchy in this world, and somewhere along the line they're going to be found out. There is nothing holy in London. And I can guarantee you there's nothing holy in Jerusalem. There's nothing holy in Salt Lake City, Mecca, Rome, or any place else. Symbols are like letters of the alphabet. If you put them together correctly, they'll tell you a story. Our world is filled with symbols, and our people do not even understand how they have been hoodwinked into following religious and political philosophies.
Hoodwink being a good Masonic term.
Correct. And appropriate. I would like to be able to do a presentation on conspiratorial apparatus in religion. I usually say to my audience that I do not come to offend anyone. It is not my purpose to offend anyone. But in the process of educating people, sometimes you do offend. And if that happens, I want everyone to know that I don't give a damn. Because I believe... Right.
Yeah.
I believe that it's time. It is an idea whose time has come to confront the forces at work in this country and throughout the world. Somewhere along the line, we're going to find out that the entire world is in very serious trouble. And religion, there is no, and let me Let me state this correctly. There is no Messiah coming back to save anyone. For there was no Messiah here to begin with. If you understand where the ancient Semitic concepts of a Messiah came from, then you will understand that they have, the people who have promoted the religions in our country, have stolen the real truth, which goes back into the ancient and prehistoric world. The bottom line is that we ourselves are the only hope that we have to educate ourselves as a people and to become more humane and more educated and intelligent in the field of theology and government. I cannot tell you what kind of a loathing I have for our political and religious institutions in this country. I consider the government or the people behind this government to be criminals. And that's why we have in California a criminal justice system. It's not a California justice system. It's a criminal justice system. So I am trying to do the best I can with that which I have to work with. To explain a little bit about how I got into what I do, when I was a small child, my mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office. And every couple of years, the old man would come home and talk with my family. And I was Catholic, and all of my family were Catholics. And there would be priests coming over to the house, and my two uncles were federal judges. My great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida, so I grew up around politics and religion and heard all of the things going on behind the scenes. So I was used to this, and I grew up hearing it. And I was waiting for someone to have the courage to stand up and expose this kind of thing to the world, but no one has yet. And it is only until just recently that people like you are finally coming to realize that we are in serious trouble and are standing up to do something about it, and that's why I'm proud to be a part of who you are and what you're doing. But I believe that there's an even bigger story yet. Very big story. When we get into, and we will do that soon, I hope to be able to make a presentation to you on some material that I have been working on for some time, dealing with occult symbols and taking this all the way back to that ancient period of time when these concepts were developed. In conclusion, I have to say that I am very unhappy with what I see being called religion in this country. And as far as I'm concerned, Israel as a state is a travesty on the world at large. And I hold no respect whatsoever for the attorneys, for Israel, for the theology that these people have dreamt up, for the kind of corrupt government that they have put us under. And I'm telling you that words are the tools of the conspirators. They know how to say things and how to manipulate you. Somewhere along the line, they're going to be found out because there's a revolution coming. And I hope to be a part of that beginnings of this revolution, of this rebellion. I cannot tell you how much I have been waiting to do such. I do not have the funds, the background, or the materials to do what I need to do. But it's going to happen. I'm going to be able to finish the work that I've come here to do. And now it is a personal thing with me. I want to do this kind of an exposing work. And I have already made peace with my life. I know that this might even one day get me killed. But I have decided that if a man hasn't found something worth dying for, he's not fit to live. And as far as I'm concerned, this is so very serious to all of us. I am willing to give my life and to do whatever it is it's going to take to wake people up. The church, our governmental system, and that most reprehensible word in the English language, law. I don't give a damn about man-made law. Attorneys, lawyers, as far as I'm concerned, not personally, but as a society, are parasites.
That's right.
But they're also working for our masters. And somewhere along the line, what goes around comes around. And there's going to come a day when they're going to be found out, and this system is going to come falling down around their heads, because I don't believe that the God of this universe is going to allow the human race to crawl on its knees much longer. So I thank you all for allowing me to be here, and I hope that I will be able to come back and even make a presentation one day with my new materials that I've been working on.
Try next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Well, it looks like it's David's turn unless you want to...
That's fine. Let's make the rounds of anyone who'd like to share. I would like Michael to speak with Norio. I think that it would be very worthwhile if Michael would go to Area 51 with you.
Michael here?
Michael was here, if he's not.
He's here.
Someday I'll get her to open her eyes and we'll all know.
Well, I guess it's time. Anyway, I'm Dave Herman. I don't know if too many of you people know me. There's a few friendly faces in here. But essentially, we all walk a path of destiny, you might say. I wrote a poem one time. It pretty well sums it up. It says something to the effect of, just as beauty exists in the eye of the beholder, reality exists in the minds of individuals. Nothing can exist without the freedom to find it, and love is the only truth that grants freedom. Unfortunately, we're living in a spot where there's great competition. And this competition basically scrunches everything down. If you look beyond the politics, if you look beyond the people, you put it into simpler contexts. I ran into an alien-involved situation, an etheric entity situation in Los Angeles here a while back. I created the Herman Research Papers, and it's basically of point-to-point connections with ley-line connections involving an alien situation. It's extremely negative. But if you follow things, you'll always find different sides of the coin. If you compare some of the things from various belief systems, and I think in psychology there's a thing called a Freudian slip, and that Freudian slip will tell you little truths. All right? There's a thing about life in general. It's called the survival of the fittest. It's described on Earth as the big fish eats the little fish until the bigger fish comes by. I've got a different analogy of it. I look at it from the context of a meadow and a forest. The grass of the meadow takes the water from the tree in order to maintain its space. The tree is in constant competition. It takes the sunlight from the grass. And this borderline, or military zone, if you would, is constant competition as the trees try to encroach on the grass. And I don't believe, from what I've, the vast area I've researched, I don't believe it's any different anywhere else in the universe. There's 126 types of aliens, I'm told. I'm only familiar with a couple of types. But of the 126 types, I think they're in the same competitive state we are. I think everything is part of something else, and we're part of everything that there is. The negative situation that I found in Los Angeles is patterned. I have had Mr. Jordan Maxwell look over this stuff, and part of it is symbolism that he's acquainted with. I've got 14 people in a volunteered research type situation, ranging from two physicists, a medical doctor, a young man out of the military, is a propaganda person from the military. I've got some real interesting people. I've got one person from the Federal Aviation Agency went over to the site. It's coming into happening. Now, the interesting thing, we're all here, you might say, because of destiny. I'm here because I walked into a situation in Los Angeles that I found dangerous. I followed that situation out here. It led me to... is things still working? Oh, well, I don't need it. Okay. Okay, there we go. All right. I fell into a situation in Los Angeles that ended up leading me out to the Goat Mountain area. When I found Goat Mountain, I ran into a political situation that shut me off of the Looney Tunes projector, you know, people, as Norio, you know, was talking about. And what, sure, right there. A lot of politics involved in there. So from that, I made a We've been talking here about mind control, and I've made some really interesting observations in that. Of the 14 people that I've taken up the hill site, and I was going to take tours and take people out there, but I decided against it. A couple of reasons. First off, the ground is so unstable, every rock you step on slips and slides. And secondly, the place is covered with ritual satanic 666s and little pentagrams and stuff. I've been up there with Mr. Fenton and some other people, and we have been swarmed by people. There has been gunfire. I don't go up there to research unless I am heavily armed now. It's a very interesting place. The interesting thing about it is that every one of us, on top of the hostilities in there, the physical hostilities, every one of us has experienced a kind of degeneration, you might say, temporary degeneration, attitude change. There's something up there that's working. Researching this a little further, I found evidence in other researchers. Al Wilcox, for instance, he's been researching up here in this area for a long time. Mr. Wilcox is speaking very slowly. His thinking processes have slowed down. Another friend of mine is another researcher, is Harley Bird. Mr. Bird's been spending time in that area, and he could be described as a nice fellow, but a little, you know, strange. Of course, here I am, so who am I to say? But anyway, there's been other situations. Mr. Nikola Tesla used to work with experiments in that area. Penny Harper, a person that I really respect a great deal. Very nice, honest person. When I first met Penny 5 years ago, she was running New Forum, you know, over in Santa Monica. Penny is a beautiful person. She was alert. She was working with Channel 52 or 56 local television. She had a couple of meeting things going. She purchased an area, a parcel of property out here east of Edwards Air Force Base. As she's been coming up to Edwards Air Force Base, there's a noticeable effect on how Penny thinks and performs and presents herself these days. She's no longer connected with the television station, and she's out of uniform. Okay, there's other effects on other people. Mr. Hayakawa here talks about the UFO areas being Looney Tunes. A good example of what he's talking about is various researchers in there. Okay, there's a fellow by the name of Sean Morton, for example. He spent lots of time out in this desert. Okay, okay, let's talk here. We've got Mr. George Green. Okay, George Green comes into this area. He works in this area. He has an opportunity to advance, and there's an underlying force, if you would, that works on people, okay? Mr. Green ended up attaching to the area. He ended up going off the deep end a little bit, shall we say, which is evident in his writings, you know, and the mess he's got himself into. And you read some of that stuff, and you think, God, you know, the stupidity factor strikes, you know. But if you take a look at the way people drive in Los Angeles and everywhere outside of a nice community like this, you'll find that's happening everywhere, not only with people like Mr. Green, but people in industry, people in churches, people in government, all over the place. With Mr. Morton, okay, when I met Sean 5 years ago, he had it all together, okay. He just wrote a book here a while back called Millennium Factor. A cute part of that is if you take the produced picture that he had in there of the Antichrist, the wanted poster picture, and you take his picture from the front of the book and put the two together and put them to a window, you have yourself a good laugh. And that's interesting because Mr. Martin has gone the same way that all these other people have. Okay, now here's something to consider. Mr. Eisenhower, okay, met with these things physically, reportedly, at Edwards Air Force Base. And ever since the Eisenhower and Nixon administration, the whole governmental system has experienced the same thing. I think that before you get into individualities and people, that there's forces out here. I'm here because I ran into an area of this force. I've been studying it. I've been working with it. And Mr. Hira Collins probably here because of his own reasons, but I think maybe he's found that too a little bit. In dealing with the negative aspects and the area that I really didn't like to deal with, I'll leave you with one parting thing here. I have made many, many discoveries, and I'm going to show you something now that's very valuable. If we do this as an experiment, I think you'll find something unique here and really neat. And all I'm going to ask you to do is two things. The first thing is, you remember how it is on a nice, warm, sunny day, when you're sitting in your by your pool or you're down by the beach and it's nice and warm and the sun's beating on your chest? You remember what that feels like? Okay. Now get a good solid concept of that And then pull that warmth into your heart. A picture's worth 1,000 words, but an experiment's worth more. Pull that into your heart, just as though you had a plexiglass or a window here and the sun was beating on your heart. So take a moment or two and just get your hearts warm. Okay. Now, maintaining the warmth in the heart, close your eyes and remember back to a time when you were a small child playing and having a good time. Key word there is play. Just do that for a few moments. Okay, it's not enough time for everybody, but I don't want to waste all their tape. Gentleman in the yellow shirt, what did you feel, if anything?
Well, playing in a sandbox.
Mm-hmm. What did you...
Building some kind of a...
Okay, except the memory. I forgot to mention the most important thing is to physically be aware of any changes in feelings or whatever, but physically, did you feel anything interesting or different?
No.
Okay. Young lady here in the blue jacket. Yeah, you, with a big smile. Okay, did you notice any feelings physically or otherwise? Okay. The young lady over there in the green jacket. I think everybody's a little bit self-conscious. Okay, normally what people feel is, I saw three energy fields begin here. And what you feel is a tiny little fingering-type sensation on the top of your head. If you allow it to go, it comes over to about your ear level, drops down. It's the frequency emanating from here, and this is a way to hook into it. I used to use devices. I have 7 devices that I used to use to physically disrupt energy fields. I no longer use devices. I use this. Worked out pretty good, but at every dark shadow, there's something bright at the end of the rainbow. We should take and work together. There's a lot of stuff in media. I work in the media industry. There's a lot of stuff in media which is subliminal programming. And, you know, we're in a situation where we're rowing the boat, you know, but something else is steering it. And it's not just politics between people or interest groups. It's not just politics in the government. It's not just politics in, you know, international governments. What it is it's basically down. There's an old saying, okay, God's coming, and boy, is he pissed. Well, I'll tell you what, it's no joke. You know, it's happening. It's on the horizon, you know. And whether that horizon is a rising sun for a lot of people or a setting one, you know, depends on the choices we make. And the only thing that's in this research that I'm doing, it doesn't require a lot of funding. All it requires is a lot of time and a place to put it out. But the only thing that's... I lost my train of thought again. I do that. I get derailed. The only thing that's really important is that we have the ability to make the choice. One of the pet peeves I have is the amount of control and subliminal programming put out in media in various things. The Larry King talk show was a very good example of that. We're going to have a exposure, the cover-up of Area 51. They should have called it the media cover-up of the cover-up. Because I'd like to know how you can have, you know, an unbiased, you know, exposing of a cover-up. The first person you're talking to is an Air Force person. The second person you're talking to is sitting there talking about his connections with Barry Goldwater. The third person is a physicist who's talking about his next lecture at Los Alamitos, which is another government facility. Then the next person you hear up there is a computer programmer, you know, that lives in the trailer by Area 51. Oh, incidentally, Nario, with your business that you're in, with the mortuary business, and the exploring you've done at Area 51, have you ever noticed those holes alongside of the road that go in there? About 10, 15 yards, the zipper pattern of holes all the way down the road that goes into the gate. You ever notice those? Next time you're out to Area 51, okay, walk, when you find this mound of dirt, okay, and it's a zipper pattern all the way down the road, walk out there and look, because what you got is about a 7-foot-long hole, about 3 feet wide, and about 4 or 5 feet deep. And what it is the mound of dirt. Some of them are on tarps with eyelets. So if you wanted to dispose of something about 6 foot, 3 foot, weighing a couple hundred pounds, you could lay it in there, hook your Jeep onto the eyelets, and cover it real fast. So I wonder how many things are zippered, down the road at Area 51. You might look into that, But anyway, you find all kinds of interesting things, when you go around. I do not know in my own mind and heart where this is leading. I know that I'm going for one heck of a ride, okay?
You're going to go for a bigger one. Because they've got you, buddy. In all of your givingness into the real hypnotic, let's just play hypnosis here for a minute and I'll go in and suck in the warmth. You haven't yet mentioned relationship with God, and I'm telling you, they're going to have you. They're going to string you up.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize it.
Well, that's where I think it's coming from, is the better side, the positive side.
But is it?
I'm not completely sure.
Be careful.
Yeah. Well, I've been walking through this quagmire, this pit, if you would, of this very negative stuff for a long, long time. And I'll tell you, it's really an interesting thing. If you go out there to Landers, you go out there...
Well, but David, you are not nearly as confused as the ones that you've already mentioned. Penny and Fenton are both totally, completely confused.
I know that. Yeah, there's a couple of things that this warm feeling that I'm trying to tell you people about is what keeps me from being as confused as those. That's very well.
That's because you're getting some centering.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you are pulling in a physical thing when you need to be pulling in a spiritual thing.
Well, it is, I think, spiritual. Of course, when you deal with etherics, it's hard to make the line.
It's not hard.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm here because I'm looking for same way that Norio
is.
And the search for truth never stops. And when Norio here... I tell you, every time I answer a question, all it does is bring up more questions, That's the way...
Say what?
Anyway.
Could you tell us about your experiences? You said you had experience with two people, aliens?
Not exactly. It's two different groups.
Let me tell you, too. Okay. Well, I should have interrupted, because there's a big misperception. He said maybe 150 types of aliens.
Well, that's what I hear from other people.
Well, forget it. Okay. There are 178 at least, minimum, inhabited planets in your own solar system. I mean, in your own galaxy, your Milky Way.
How many?
What did I say? Oh, thank you. There are 178 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're going to have a minimum of 178 billion different aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it's like saying, oh, you're from Pleiades and you are this. No. Pleiades is a larger constellation than is Earth in your own orbiting system. And you're going to have a different humanoid expression on every one of them. But they will basically be man. This old cock and bull story about evolving from fish is exactly that. That is part of the plan against you. You've got to get into your reality of a God that expresses in perfection. And you were expressed as man, human, higher universal man. And on your place, you get restricted and squished down until you become lower universal man, lower confined man. So instead of evolving, you are imploding. Everything within you is going to have to come out and blossom so that what is within becomes without. And this is the error of all of the cute little trampling around channels and the input from these sweet, dear, little old 64,000-year-old aliens. They're okay to play in. But you're talking now about the demise of soul. And it's wonderful to play in this. It's like it's wonderful to play in astrology. But remember that you create your reality.
Let me turn the tape.